Today, I want you to take a look. I've got three scriptures. Go to Luke chapter 9 and hang out there a minute. I'm going to do a little something that I don't do very often, and I'm not sure how it'll sound, and I don't have a guitar pick. So, camera people, fair warning, I'm going to just run off the screen for a second. Yay! They're like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Where'd he go? I think I've done this a couple of times over the years, and we've been here quite a few years, and I'm going to need a drink of water. Bethel mug. when I was, most of you know my testimony. I got really excited about God at age 14, and I really made a decision that I was going to give my life to him in more than just a cursory way, or just going to believe or whatever. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. And I think I've sung this song, my goodness, once every decade maybe, since I've been here. On average, I haven't sung this song a lot. But somewhere around age 16, I ran across a verse. I used to sit in my room and read the scripture and strum my guitar. And sometimes I would end up singing scripture. It's just something I did as a kid. And this song kind of came out of that, again, somewhere around age 16, so nearly 50 years ago I wrote this. And I don't know how it's going to sound over the live stream. Sorry, live stream. You'll get what you get of it. The guitar floats up into the headset, hopefully enough that it's not too bad. We'll find out, and this may be the last time I'll ever try that. But I thought I'd sing this little song for you. One day, I met a stranger. He was talking to a crowd. He spoke with authority. He talked long and loud, but he didn't seem to bore me. 'Cause he spoke of his Father up above, and he spoke of his Father's glory and of his Father's love. And he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so I began to follow him, 'cause his followers were the in crowd. I called myself his disciple, and when I said it, I felt proud. But then his words became stronger, and his sayings harder to bear. And I wasn't sure whether I could follow him, or if I had the courage to dare. And he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I was there when they arrested him, and when he bore my sins on a tree. I was there when he rose again, conquering death for you and me. Well, he ascended, gave us his spirit, and by his spirit we are led. And so every day I follow him, remembering what he said. And he said to us all, if any man come after me, well, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. When I wrote that song, it was the in crowd to be a disciple, Jesus people. That's what was going on at the time. And so it fit. And I would sing it. And I remember watching some of the Jesus people as they started to walk with Christ, suddenly find out they couldn't do some of the stuff that they used to be able to do. Now, some of them for the wrong reasons, purely legalistic, and some of them for the right reasons had to stop doing what they were doing because the Spirit wasn't leading them there anymore. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about self-denial. Because I've lived a life of, 51 years now, plus, of my 65 years, trying to figure out this self-denial thing. Doing it sometimes pretty good, and other times, not so much. But I have been following Jesus for quite a while, and I do realize, especially the more years that I get, the more wear on my tread that I get, the more I realize how important this actually is, this idea of self-denial. And it might not be what you think. I can say that I do believe I've lived a better life with him than I would have lived without him. That I've been able to avoid some things because I decided not to do something that I wanted to do, only to find out that it wasn't what I wanted to do anyway. Not really. So what does it mean to follow Jesus today? And are we doing it the way that we're supposed to? I'm going to read to you from Matthew 24, but you're in Luke. Stay in Luke 9. Just let me read this. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In the song, I was using the King James Version, by the way. The Schofield King James Version. Matthew says this was spoken to the disciples. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew says. But he also says, if anyone would come after me, anyone who desires to come after me. So this is for anyone. I think it's for more than just the 12 is my main point here, and I'm going to show that a little bit more. And I think it's more than just people who are called to some kind of a quote-unquote full-time ministry, because I was called very young. I had understanding that I wasn't sure I wanted to hear, but I knew it when I was 14 that I would be a pastor. And yet, you all know me. I preach that we're all in full-time ministry. And it bothers me sometimes that there are those who follow a path that seems to make them something that nobody else is. I believe strongly that we're all kings and priests. And I don't want us, by the way, in preaching on self-denial today, to deny who we are. I am who he said I am, and I can do what he said I can do. So I am a king, and I am a priest. But the greatest kings know how to deny themselves in the right places. The greatest priests set themselves apart in holiness. Mark 8, verse 34 says it also. When he had called the people. Everybody say people? Yeah, that would be. Look around you. Do those look like people? I'm just saying. Looks like people in here today. When he called the people to himself, his disciples also. Interesting how Mark says that differently than how Matthew said it. But when he called the people to himself, his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So, recorded the same moment. And if you actually look in the context of those, you'll see much that's recorded by both Matthew and Mark. And then that clarifies it, as I was saying. It wasn't just the disciples, but now we get down to Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, for those of you who have turned there. Then he said to them, all. Everybody say all. I think that clears it up. All means all. If you look it up in the Greek, it still means all. It's all. All y'all. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's interesting, John doesn't record this, but the other three Gospels do. John tells us some things that the other Gospels don't, too. John was more of an intimate closeness that the other Gospels were a little different than, and there's reasons for that. I'm not going to go into that today. But the Scripture does say in 2 Corinthians 13:1, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So this idea that is for all y'all, all of us here, is really important for us to understand. If any of us want to come after him, then there's something that we have on our side of the equation. This is yes. Okay. So what does it mean to come after him? Maybe I've got that mixed up. Is coming after him more than just believing? Do I need to more than just believe to come after him? I would like to suggest to you that there is something a little bit more than just believing. I think there will be people who believe that he rose from the dead. I'm not sure how that's going to work if they didn't come after him. On the other hand, if you really believe that he rose from the dead, that he died for your sins, why wouldn't you want to go after him? And the word that came to me in the more modern vernacular that I began to think about today was this idea of pursuit. Am I pursuing God? Am I pursuing him? Do I live to pursue God? Or do I just live? Am I just making it by, or am I pursuing God with my whole existence? And what does that look like? We've talked about this a little bit in the past, but I just want to show you scripturally how just believing could come up a little bit short. John 12, verse 42 says, nevertheless, among the rulers, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. That's an interesting thought. There was something that they weren't willing to confess because they didn't want the result that would happen if they did. And Jesus also said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Two words in here that jump out at me are confess and deny. They've already appeared in our other scripture that we've been looking at. First, confess. I think there's another interesting verse that we can use to help us establish this confess thing. Most of us are familiar with it also, Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So here's what I'm seeing. Believing is not enough for experiencing the fullness of salvation. Confession initiates the pursuit that is manifest in us making an effort to go after Christ. Now, this is sometimes confusing because people say there's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. There isn't. It's kind of two sides of the same coin. You can't earn it. You have to believe. You can confess, but if you don't believe, you're just confessing something, just trying to get fire insurance probably. I don't know. You got to believe. But on the other hand, if you believe but you don't confess, then where are you? If you don't confess, is that an indicator that you're not willing to deny yourself? Got to be careful what people think of me, you know. If I start spouting off too much about this Jesus thing, they're going to think I'm nuts. They already think you're nuts probably anyway. They're just being nice. When you bring up Jesus, they'll probably tell you you're nuts. But up till then, they'll just put up with you because you're nuts like they're nuts. But if you start being nuts about Jesus, now you're not nuts like I'm nuts. And I got to talk to you about your nuts. And I got to talk about how crazy you are. Because now you're just crazy, crazy. So, not only are we commanded to confess him, but we're also commanded to deny ourselves. And I think those two go hand in hand. Sometimes we may not be confessing with our mouth, but we can be confessing with our life, can't we? Nothing like having a Jesus bumper sticker on the back of your car while you're going 65 and a 35. There you go. You might have to deny yourself coming down Baltimore Road because it's only 35 for a long way. And it's very hard to drive down Baltimore Road coming this direction at 35. How many of you are touched by the feeling of my infirmity? You know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. Hallelujah, they opened the exit on 24. Woo-hoo! Yeah. Happy about that. Question, have you ever denied Jesus? You know, there have been times in the past, and by the way, probably are in certain parts of the world, this is true to this moment, where people have been told if they don't deny Christ, they're going to die. Can't even begin to imagine that. And I've been told stories of missionaries. There was a story in North Korea. I'm debating whether I should even tell you. A man and his wife and his two children were put in a hole. And they demanded that he deny Christ. And he didn't do it. And they began to fill the hole with shovels. And as the hole continued to be filled, he never denied Christ. But he was very much aware of what was going on because his kids were little. I don't know how well I would hold up under that kind of situation. And thank God I've never had to face that kind of situation. Has anybody here ever had to save your life or die? Kind of a denial? I didn't think so. Probably no one who will ever hear this message will have that experience. At least not in this country. At least I hope not anytime in the future. While none of us have probably been put to that test, I do believe it's possible that we have not denied ourselves sometimes, and in so doing, we have denied him. Pretty sure I have. I'm not judging y'all by anybody's standards but my own. I don't see anybody getting mad and tromping out, so you must be on the same page with me. I get it. There are opportunities every day to deny ourselves. Few of you might have experienced it this morning. Did any of you have a body that said, I'm not going? I'm tired. I can't do this. I'm just going to lay in bed and sleep a little longer. No, none of you said that because you're here. But, well, maybe your body started saying that, and what did you do? You denied yourself. Maybe it felt like taking up a cross. I don't know. A guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer, I've quoted him a few times. I like him. He was a guy during the Second World War who was a Lutheran pastor, and he resisted Hitler and a lot of the things that Hitler did, including Hitler's persecution of the Jews. And he wrote a book, wrote a couple actually, and one of his quotes is, "We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions." What if this is an example of the cross in everyday life? Something crosses our path. Something changes what we're thinking we're supposed to be doing right at that moment. Something that we weren't expecting. And at that moment where those two things cross, we have to make a decision, and we have to either deny ourselves or deny the Holy Spirit who's put this in our path. Wow. That's tough. That's tough. Sometimes we don't like changing our plans. At least I don't. But we also need to be careful, because our plans may seem right, but it may be just God protecting us from ourselves. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and 16, verse 25, by the way, they both say the same thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And in today's text, Jesus said we are to take up our cross daily, every day. So every day, we're going to have opportunities for self-denial. And we'll probably have to exercise them. Now, here's a reality. Most people probably do exercise a certain amount of self-denial every day. I'd like to think that the majority of people in the world exercise self-denial a little bit every day. They make decisions to do something that maybe isn't their favorite thing to do, but needs done. I came in this morning. I got here early. And I tried to practice that song. I hadn't sung it in so long. Chord structure was a little, I had to think it through, and I even missed a couple of chords when I played it. But I wrote it, so you don't know. Anyway, I play it's right. But anyway, I went around the building. I was doing some things and putting some stuff away that I hadn't had a chance to put away, and I got to the back hall. And there were boxes back there that I promised I would cut up and put in dumpsters out back in the mighty tidies. I didn't want to do it. But I didn't want it sitting there either. I didn't even think about whether it fit into the message today. I just saw it and I was like, ugh. I said I would do that. So I need to do that. So I'm going to do that. I grabbed a razor knife and went back there and cut them up, folded them up, stuck them in the mighty tidies outside. So we have two full mighty tidies outside for whoever it is that puts them out. We full of cardboard mainly, which is probably recyclable, but, you know. And nevertheless, I got it out of the hallway, and then I ran to the office and got a little vacuum thing that we have and Marlene goes, did I miss something? No, I made a mess, because if you cut things up in the hallway, you're going to have little shavings and stuff around. Wasn't something I wanted to do. I didn't even think about it as, well, now I have to deny myself, take up my box daily and follow him. You know, I wasn't thinking of it in that way. It wasn't some holy thing that I did. I just forgot. And then I did it real quick, and it wasn't what I wanted to do, because I probably needed to practice that song a couple more times is what I needed to do, but oh well. I bring all this up because I think we're in a time in history, the history of our country at least, probably not the only time in history, or in the history of our country perhaps, where self-denial is now kind of almost being seen as evil. Have you all noticed that? Denying yourself, well, you don't want to deny yourself. Well, you deserve a break today. Have it your way at Burger King. I probably could have made a list of commercials. Can any of you think of a commercial that does that right now? Yeah, what? Oh, you couldn't. I asked you too quick. What? There are a bunch of commercials out there. That's the point. And, you know, you watch these commercials and everything's about you getting what you deserve. You deserve more. You deserve this and you deserve that. And I thought, you know, we deserve what Jesus got, but he took it in our place. They don't advertise that on these commercials very often. But you deserve everything. And again, I'm not wanting you to stop being who God called you to be or recognizing yourself as a son, a child of the King, and all those things. This is all part of it going together here, so I don't want you to lose that. But listen to Luke chapter 9, verses 23, where we were starting, and now I'm going to read a couple more verses, or one more verse anyway. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And I've shared testimonies of how God saved my skin so many times over the years when I was going to do something that didn't make sense, that wasn't a good idea, and I didn't do what I shouldn't have done, and as a result of not doing what I shouldn't have done, I ended up with the better situation because God's plans for us are always better than our plans for ourselves. Unless we actually have stumbled upon God's plan for us, and that's our plan for ourselves. Occasionally I do that. Occasionally I'm right, like I'm in sync with God. I know what he wants, and I'm actually doing it, and it's working. It's amazing how that happens. It always works when I do it his way. But by the way, this is the way of Christ himself. This is how he did it. Listen to what he says in some scripture here. Mark 9:35, and he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Does it sound like self-denial? Let me read on. John 13:12-17. So when he had washed their feet, remember he did this at the Last Supper? When he had washed their feet and taken his garments, put them back on, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. He didn't lose his identity in what he was doing. So again, I'm not trying to get us to have this self-denial thing where we lose our identity. Jesus never lost his identity. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's amazing stuff. It's amazing stuff to think about. Jesus is the greatest example of self-denial in the entire universe. At any moment in what he was doing, he could have decided not to deny himself. He could have decided that he was going to do what he could do. He could have called, as so many have said over the centuries, 10,000 angels. And they could have removed him from the cross and smitten the whole earth. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. But instead, for the sake of us, he denied himself. Let me end with Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, one version says, let this attitude be in you. This is to change our thinking and to remind us. Because sometimes, and again, I'm not saying there aren't times when you need boundaries and there's not time to stand up for your rights. This is one message, and there would have to be a whole series of messages that would take more time than I will have in my entire life for me to delineate this all properly to you, to where I make sure you all understand everything. So I'm not trying to leave anything out. But let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want my mind to be like his mind, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. And he found, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Next time something comes across my path, what I need to do is I need to look up, don't I? I need to look up and see that cross. I need to look up and go, oh, something just crossed my path. And I need to ask, how can I not deny you in this situation, even though I may be denying myself? But think about it with me. Where did self-denial lead Jesus to? Where did self-denial take the Lord of all? The one who denied himself more than any other creature on the planet ever could have. What has the result been for him? He is highly exalted. The way to the top is found at the bottom.